Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
From Western Conference Player of the Week to not even on the team playing, it's been a busy day for Marc Gasol. We'll talk about it and a little bit more. You are Locked On Grizzlies.
Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into another edition of Locked On Grizzlies. My name is Peter Edmiston. Happy to be with you for this Tuesday, a very busy Tuesday it is, with the Cleveland Cavaliers game coming up later on this evening, and one that deeply affected by a personnel decision. We'll talk about that coming up momentarily. This episode of Locked On Grizzlies is presented by our friends over at SeatGeek. We would be remiss if we didn't start with an appreciation for Marc Gasol, named NBA's Western Conference Player of the Week. And it's not as if this is any sort of a surprise or anything like that. It is nice, and it is a rare achievement for Grizzlies to take home any player of the week or month or anything like that. Not something that happens all that often. But in Mark's case, I mean, how could you deny what he has done in the time since Mike Conley's out, and just this week in particular? You know, just over 27 points, 10 boards, 5 assists, great percentages, doing everything imaginable that you would ask a guy to do for a team that desperately needs, well, everything. You know, you take Mike Conley out of the mix, you take Chandler Parsons out of the mix. You guys know, I don't have to tell you, you know who's hurt. Mark's had to do everything. He's stepped up, and he's been just immense. And the thing that you look at in particular is over the 7 games without Mike Conley, and that extends a little bit further past the 1 week mark that he's being honored for the Player of the Week, but you know what I mean. If you extend out to those 7 games with Mike Conley out, his numbers, he's averaging, his net rating is plus 13.6, so he's, you know, the Grizzlies are 13.6 points per 100 possessions better when he's on the court. And he's doing everything that you would want him to do. His defensive rating is fantastic. It's the best on the team over that stretch. His offensive rating is almost the best on the team. You might not believe whose offensive rating is actually the best, slightly better than Mark and player number two. Mark's actually third in the 7-game stretch. You won't believe who's won. Well, you might, but we'll talk about him later on too. But the thing that I think is particularly impressive is the actual assist percentage. The assist percentage for Mark in the last 7 games, it was already very high for the year. It's something like 24% for the year. It's almost 28% over those 7 games. And those are, you know, point guard type numbers. For example, in that same 7-game stretch, Kyle Lowry's is 30. And assist percentage is, you know, percentage of team possessions that are assisted by the player when they're on the court. That's a lot. I mean, that's a lot. When you see anybody that gets, you know, over 1 in 4 possessions, that's really good. When it comes from a center, that's extremely rare and very impressive. And it highlights the all-around ability that Mark's got. You know, he's taking post position, and he's really working things from that spot. You know, the Grizzlies have slowed down. They have taken some elements of the old-school style of grit and grind, playing very slowly. They've incorporated a lot of the new, more spacing-based elements that you've seen from David Fizdale with some of the personnel, and they've got a nice little mesh, and Gasol's game right now is really playing as a microcosm of all of that, because he's doing a lot of those little things. He's doing a lot of the things offensively that you that you expect Fizdale would want him to do. And then he's orchestrating the defense, and he's helping to anchor a young group that's playing really hard. But sometimes they have a few little slip-ups or little mistakes or, you know, some miscommunications, things like that. You know, he really helps to anchor a lot of that. But then he also moves the ball on offense. He's also got a lot of things that are really working well for him. And in fact, one of the things that he thinks, or one of the things that's working really well for him, in the opinion of his coach, David Fizdale, and I had a chance to talk to David Fizdale on Monday at practice, he said that he just likes the way that Marc Gasol is interacting with his teammates out there this year.
I just saw it on film before I got here, and I said, you know, this is an area I can really help this guy grow. And now he just shows a lot of strength, you know, during times of adversity. He's putting his arm around guys a lot more and showing them the way and not, you know, just saying, well, they don't know how to do it. But he's actually showing guys how to do it. And, you know, he still has room to grow that way, but I'm really proud of the way that he's taken to this and leading this group.
And I think that's a really critical observation about Mark and about his game and about how he is interacting with his teammates, because I think, you know, he has been such a – he was a real negative guy, and I think that negativity rubbed off on some teammates, rubbed them the wrong way, or he just didn't – it wasn't the kind of leadership that the team rallied around. But now they are. They rally around the guy. They rally around what he does out there, and he's giving positive signals. So that's huge. And if you look at his ability in so many different ways to impact the game, he's just huge, which means his absence coming up tonight against the Cleveland Cavaliers is obviously going to be hugely detrimental to what the Grizzlies can do in this game. We'll talk about that in just a second. But first, my friends at SeatGeek have a great holiday offer for you. L.O. Grizzlies, that's what you need to know about. L.O. Grizzlies, that is the offer code that you need to think about. It's the promo code that you need to enter when you download the SeatGeek app. And you say, well, Peter, why am I getting the SeatGeek app? What's so great about it? Let me tell you why it's great. You get all of the benefits of scouring the internet, scouring all these ticket buying sites to find out what's the best seat for your event or game or whatever it is that you're going to go to. But you don't have time for that, and you don't want to do that, and you might miss one. You don't have the kind of proprietary software they've got. You don't have the algorithms they're using. You don't have the very simple, easy-to-use features that they've got. You just don't have access to all that stuff unless you download the SeatGeek app yourself. So why not do it? Why waste your own time? Why not just cut to the chase, save yourself some money, and do it really with the tap of your finger? Download the SeatGeek app, and you'll see very easily in a nice interface exactly where the seats are going to be, if the seat is a good value or not. So scouring through those sites, if you see green, then you know that's a good seat. That seat is well-priced, and you're going to save money with that seat. If it's red, not so much. It's easy for you to find the seat that really fits your budget with it, whatever it is that you're looking for. And if you use the promo code LO Grizzlies, you download it, you type in, go to the side, the menu, and look for promo code, put in LO Grizzlies, you're going to save yourself $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase, and you're going to help support the pod, which is a great 1-2 punch. Please do that. So download the SeatGeek app today and type in promo code LO Grizzlies to save $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase, whether you're going to a concert, whether you're going to an NBA game, whatever it may be. SeatGeek can get it done for you with the SeatGeek app. So, yeah, it was announced by the Grizzlies this afternoon that Marc Gasol didn't even travel with the team to Cleveland, so he certainly is not going to play. He will be rested, which is what I thought that they really should have done with him up in Toronto at the beginning of this run without Mike Conley. They ended up losing that game by 15, and then they won 6 straight, so what the hell do I know? But you do have to rest the guy. He has been playing major, major minutes and has been playing major emphasis and doing lots of stuff within those minutes that he's been playing. He hadn't just been out there twiddling his thumbs. He's been playing and doing a lot and really orchestrating, as we discussed earlier in the pod. So it would have been nice to hear from Mark, and I endeavored to make that happen, but unfortunately, he was not made available in spite of not traveling and being named Western Conference a player of the week. So we will have to hold off and wait for later in the week to hear what Marc Gasol has to say. In the meantime, you will ask, well, you know, is this the right thing to do? Is it the right thing to do to rest Marc in this situation? I'd be curious to hear what you guys have to say about that. You can shoot me a tweet at Peter Edmiston. You can send me an email as well, peter@peteredmiston.com. If you are a Grizzly fan and you are listening to this, do you like this being the rest game? You know, bear in mind a few things before you fire off the answer. You know, one is that, as we've been discussing here on this pod, and I say we because it's you and I where we're discussing it. I assume you're filling in the blanks, like that one little blank I just left. I assume you're filling that in with your part of the discussion. But on this pod, I've certainly talked about it, and you guys have sent me lots of tweets about it and lots of emails and stuff, so I know you're into it. He had to rest. At some point, it was going to have to happen. So is this the right time? To me, the answer is absolutely, yeah. I mean, this is why, you know, Toronto would have been a good candidate. This is another good candidate, you know, because number one, you do it on the road. You don't sacrifice him. You want your home fans who pay good money to see the best players. So that's an easy one there. You want to Marc to play at home. I would not rest him at home if you're going to rest him. Wouldn't rest him at home. Ideally, you rest him on the road against an Eastern Conference opponent. Well, there you go. There's number two. So he's on the road. It's an Eastern Conference opponent, which means it won't have any impact from a tiebreaker standpoint if you lose the game, and I would assume you will. But, you know, I remember the last time the Grizzlies went to Cleveland too. It has to be done. These are the maintenance kind of days, and maybe if there hadn't been a couple of double overtime games, and maybe if there hadn't been such an emphasis on Marc, and maybe if Mike Conley was playing, maybe you wouldn't have to do this, but you do. You have to be mindful of that foot. You have to. There's just no getting around it. And Marc, we've already seen this year, but I think you could pretty well infer it from all the various years that you've watched Marc Gasol, if you're a fan. The guy does not like, if he's going to play in a game, he wants to play in it completely. I mean, he doesn't like to sit at all. But he really seems to struggle with playing those half-minute type games, those limited minute games when they try to get, you know, 20 minutes or something like that. He just, once he starts and once he's there, he makes it hard for the coach to leave him out of the game. So you really have to remove that temptation from yourself if you're a coach and you really want to emphasize the rest portion of this. The best way to do that is to leave his big Spanish behind at home. That's what they did. He is not traveling, so there's no temptation to throw him in as a, you know, in case of emergency, break the glass. None of that. He won't be doing that. And to me, it's the right decision. You have to do it. This is a game that you're unlikely to win, last year notwithstanding. It's a game you're unlikely to win, and so you may as well give somebody else the opportunity while also resting your guy. That, to me, is it's a smart, pragmatic bit of rest, and I think the timing works very well, especially because the next day you're coming right back and you're playing in FedEx Forum against that exact same team, but you're doing it in front of your own fans, which makes an enormous difference very clearly. So that's what I would say about that. I think it just makes a lot of sense. One of the interesting things too, just though, as a little bit of a side note, Marc Gasol's numbers this year, when the Grizzlies have not, or when they've been on a back-to-back, second night of a back-to-back, you would think that would be adverse for Marc. You would think that would be troubling. You would think that would be, it would be a really difficult thing for him to do. But that is most definitely not the case. The guy has been, frankly, insanely good in those situations when you're talking about no little rest, back-to-backs, all that stuff. He's been phenomenal. His net rating in those games is quite a bit better than in other games. Now, there have only been five of them so far, but you know, he's a, in terms of a plus minus, he's plus 11 in those games, plus 3.5 when he has 1 day rest, plus 1 when he has 2 days rest. And there's only been a couple of those games. That's what you're, you know, the 5 games that they played on back to backs, he's shooting the ball better, 49%. He's shooting it better from three. He's getting to the foul line more frequently than on the 1 day rest. And he's even rebounding a little bit more compared to the other days. So, you know, if you were thinking of this in terms of, like, you know, trying to avoid a back to back, well, it makes sense on his foot, but it doesn't make sense in terms of his performance. He's been remarkably good on the second half of back to backs. I don't honestly understand it. But his recovery has been amazing. And he deserves a lot of credit. Fizdale deserves a lot of credit. The Grizzlies and the training staff and everyone that's involved in his rehab deserves a lot of credit, because not only is the guy back, but he's more mobile and more fluid than he ever was. It's worked out really well, but you do have to rest him. You do have to take a game off. You do have to do that. If guys like Blake Griffin can do it, then Marc Gasol has to do it. This is the perfect time to do it. And if you're going to take a drubbing, so be it. If you're going to win the game, all the better. But you've got to get this guy a little bit of rest. And I think the Grizzlies are doing the right thing by doing it in this situation. A couple other little notes from practice. It sounds Fizdale was pretty optimistic about James Ennis and his return. To some extent, same thing with Vince Carter, but Ennis, he seemed to indicate that Ennis was getting a little bit closer. Pretty vague, but it did seem that way. And I saw the report from Chris Haynes of ESPN that Ennis would be coming back relatively soon. That seems to square up with what I saw. I also saw Mike Conley take a ton of shots, and I watched him very closely in this post-practice session. You know, he was in there, Brandon Wright was in there, Ennis was there and went through a lot of the drills and stuff like that. But to watch Mike Conley go in one-on-one, he looked pretty good with the shot. He's looked like he was wearing some kind of a back thing, which makes sense considering what he's gone through. But I thought he looked pretty good. And I thought, you know, just looking at the shot, it looked great. Looking at the fluidity, looked pretty good. We talked about his injury when it happened in the emergency pod, and I said, you know, the timetable on this injury for the rest of the NBA players that have had it is, you know, an average. If you put them all together, the average is probably 3 weeks. And so I was a little confused to see them say 6 weeks in the prognosis, because that didn't, unless there was some other mitigating factor that they didn't talk about, that didn't really square up with what we've seen in the past from that same injury in the NBA. So maybe they're setting up for Mike Conley to come back early. That's entirely possible. Maybe they were doing that on purpose just to kind of extend out the window so that it would be even better when he came back, and it would look like it was a triumphant return, it had a schedule and all that. Or maybe they're just being extraordinarily cautious with the whole thing. You know, that remains to be seen. The one thing I can say is that the guy did look pretty darn good today, shooting after practice and kind of going through a little one-on-one kind of game. That's a long way from playing in a real NBA game, of course, but it is something. I mentioned earlier, by the way, you remember the question about, you know, who had a better offensive rating, the two guys that had a better offensive rating than Marc Gasol over the last 7 games since Mike Conley has been hurt. And the answer, second is Jermichael Green. First is Tony Allen. Tony Allen, who has played out of his mind lately. And on offense, outscored Steph Curry in the Warriors game, made one more three than Klay Thompson did in that game. He is feeling his oats, and he sports. he sports the best offensive rating of any Grizzly since Mike Conley's injury. Tony Allen, unreal, and tied for the best net rating with Marc Gasol at 13.6, plus 13.6. JaMychal Green, interestingly enough, is third at plus 12.7 in those 7 games since Mike Conley's been hurt, and then there is a huge drop-off. Troy Daniels is fourth at plus 5.1. Andrew Harrison is fifth at plus 4.6, and everybody else is negative. So with that in mind, the 3Q, you hear the music, so you know the 3Q preview is in effect. Question number one, where does the scoring come from without Marc Gasol? You know, Marc Gasol has been on the best point scoring stretch of his career in the last 6-7 games. He's been scoring with impunity. He's been scoring quite well and has led or been right at the top of the charts for the Grizzlies in every one of those games. So where does it come from? The Grizzlies, even with those contributions, are still scraping the bottom of the barrel when it comes to offensive rating and all that stuff. Where do those points come from? Where does that scoring come from without Mark? You hope Troy Daniels is feeling it. You hope that Tony Allen can give you a little bit of what he gave you last year. That brings us to question number two. Can we get another Tony Allen game from the Grindfather? I don't know. 26 points in that ball game. Steals all over the place. Was so good on both sides of the ball. But the truth is, he was really, really good on both sides of the ball against Golden State. He's feeling it. He's feeling it. And if he can get to the foul line, then, you know, he can score. He had 19 against the Warriors, and it looked pretty easy. I have to give him credit for it. I don't know if he can do 26-4, but you know, he can. He's doing a lot more than I expected. He's doing a lot more than I expected. So, can the Grizzlies get another Tony Allen game? Maybe so. Maybe so. Finally, question number three, what does the big man rotation look like without Mark? Does Zach jump into the starting lineup? I would say the answer to that is going to be no, not only because Zach is still, you know, recovering and he's still having a tough time, getting himself kind of back into the groove after missing so many games and, you know, trying to get himself back on pace hasn't been easy. He's still going to be dealing with the loss of his mom for a long, long time. But I think also David Fizdale wants to keep the feel the same. He wants Zach to continue to get accustomed to coming off the bench. Zach coming off the bench means that you would see JaMychal Green, who, as I mentioned, was third in offensive or second in offensive rating and third in net rating over this 7-game stretch. He's been really, really good. You would have JaMychal alongside blank. Grizzlies could go crazy small and just see what happens. Or they could choose to go with Jarrell Martin. I don't know that he's the best natural fit alongside of JaMychal Green, but they would be very athletic and would be able to deal with whatever Cleveland threw at them. So, I think that makes you a little more switchable. And the Grizzlies were switching a lot of stuff against the Warriors. Makes you more switchable against those teams that like to switch on you. I would like to see my guy Deontay Davis get a little more run. He is not at a good stretch of late when he has played. He has not played all that well, and he hasn't had any kind of consistency to those minutes. I'd like to see him get out there and get a little more chance. This is one of those total free games. The Grizzlies can come in and play loose and free and have a good time and hope that Cleveland takes them lightly, because there's no expectation whatsoever for them to win in this ball game. So I think it'll probably end up being, I'll throw in Jarrell and JaMychal. But I do think we'll see a heavy dose of, and maybe a heavier than expected dose, let's say, of Deontay. Zach Randolph, of course, still coming off the bench. And, you know, you could maybe make the case that you could slide everyone down and start Troy Daniels. As long as you were going to play, you'd have to push everyone down a position, and you'd end up having to play Jermichael as like the five, which I don't think that you want to do at all. So, yeah, that's probably unlikely, but I couldn't completely rule it out. But as is customary in these games, whatever the big man rotation happens to be, and I think it'll be Jarrell and Jermichael starting, but whatever it happens to be, go out, play really, really hard, and just like last year, who knows? Maybe you already had one of the craziest results of the year just a few days ago. Maybe you could summon it up again. Who can say? Thank you once again for joining me here on Locked On Grizzlies, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. If you want to shoot me an email about the show, or if you want to find out more about advertising on this podcast, please feel free to email me whatever you want, peter@peteredmiston.com. That's peter@peteredmiston.com. Follow me on Twitter, @peteredmiston. Check me out every morning, 7 to 10. Wolo and Peter in the morning, Real Sports Talk, Sports 56, 87.7 FM. Read me in the commercial appeal in the numbers game each and every week. Thanks go out to Audionautics as well for help with the music. And, of course, please subscribe and review. I would love it and really appreciate it if you would do that. Until next time, thank you so much. You have been Locked On Grizzlies.
Locked On Grizzlies, your daily podcast on the Memphis Grizzlies, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Napa Know How.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa Know How.
Napa Know How.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.